Let's begin with Parakut Chet, and then we will we'll come back to all of this. Perak Yud Chet. Vayikahalu kol adat bnei Yisrael shilo. Vayashkinu sham, there's some people learning here as well. Vayashkinu sham at Oa Moed, v'haaretz nichbesha lifnehem. Yeshua gathered everybody together in Shiloh. Vayashkinu sham at Oa Moed. There he. What is Vayashkinu? It's an interesting word. What's the root of the word Vayashkinu? Shin Chafnun, which means dwell, neighbor, Shechen, also for the root of Shechinah, also the root of Mishkan. All come from the same word. They all actually mean the same thing. Vayashkinu Shamat Omoed means he placed the Mishkan there, the Omoed. To establish the Omoed is the Mishkan. Lashkin Shamat Omoed means to place the Mishkan there. And the land was conquered before them. This is probably one of the most critical psukim in the Sefer. It is the source of the location of the Mishkan in, or the relocation of the Mishkan in Shiloh. This is where the Mishkan gets moved to Shiloh. Where has the Mishkan been up until now?
In Gilgal,
together with the rest of the base camp in Gilgal. And now, the first time we've moved the Mishkan from Gilgal to Shiloh, which ostensibly means that we have moved base camp from Gilgal. Without the Mishkan in Shiloh, in Gilgal, there's really no point for anybody to stay in Gilgal. And so the Mishkan gets moved to Shiloh. We're going to talk about why in a moment. But from that point forward, Gilgal essentially loses all significance. There's nowhere to go back to because there's no Mishkan there. If they've been dwelling around the Mishkan for all of the years of that they were in the Midbar, and the last 14 years in the land of Israel, and now at the end of those 14 years, 7 for conquest, 7 for division of the land, as we've been describing up until now, it's finally time to move the Mishkan from Gilgal to Shiloh. Seven territories belonging to seven tribes remains unsettled, unconquered or unsettled. In other words, where are we at in the broad scheme of things? In terms of the conquest of the land of Canaan, where are we at? We are seven tribes short of our goal. This is the end of the story. This is 14 years later. Yeshua has essentially looked around and said, okay, what do we have? We have, of the 12 tribes who are supposed to divide the land of Israel, we have still to conquer the land. We have seven remaining tribes. Who has so far addressed the issues? Who has so far stepped up to conquer their territory? So Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh east. Who else? Who have we looked at? Starting from the south, Yehuda. Binyamin, going to see in a moment. Ephraim. Certainly Ephraim and Manasseh. So what's left are Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Shimon's already included with Judah, with Yehuda. Gad is over here. So what do we have? Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, Dan, and Binyamin for all intents and purposes as well, a little bit. We haven't really discussed Binyamin. Vayivatu b'vnei Yisrael ha'shaloch ha'kut nachalatam shiva shvatim. It'll tell us exactly who they are. Vayomer Yoshua b'nei Yisrael, ad ana atem mitrapim lavo l'reshet et ha'aretz. How long are you going to sit and procrastinate. Mitrapim, procrastinate. Well, wait, be lazy. To conquer the land, Hashanatan lachem Hashem alkei avotechem. So here's the plan. Havu lachem shlosha anashim lashavet. Go appoint three people per tribe. Ve'eshlachem ve'yakumu v'yitalchu ba'aretz. I'll send you out. You'll go and you will walk the land. Each one of you, at least three people per tribe, will go and write out what you see. Map out the land, cartographers. Map out the land and bring me the results of your survey. And we will divide up the remaining part of the land according to the seven portions that you will divide. Yehuda ya'amod al gvulo minegev. As far as the south is concerned, that's Judah's territory. They can keep their territory. Ubet Yosef yamdu al gvulam mitzafon. And Ephraim and Menashe Bet Yosef in the north, their territory has already been settled and conquered and taken, etc. So what remains is Binyamin, Dan, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, and six. Gad is over on the side with Reuven. We're missing one. Binyamin, Dan, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher. Where's the seventh? All right, we'll find out. We'll see in a moment. Ve'atem tichtavu et ha'aretz shiva chalakim ve'vetem elai hena. Bring me the survey of the land, seven portions. Ve'ariti lachem goral po lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. And I will throw the lots. How do you have, what's the story of the lots here? How do we get to lots? So the Torah says that the land of Israel was divided by lots. We've discussed this at all? I'm sure we've discussed this. Vaguely familiar.
But I don't want to ask me what it is.
Torah says in Pashat Mas'ei that the land of Israel should be divided up by lots. Beginning of in Bamidbar Perak Lamid Dalid. Yeah, don't lose the place in Yeshua, but just flip quickly to Bamidbar Lamid Dalid. By the Bar Shema Moshe Lemor Tzavet Bnei Yisrael Marta Alehem Ki Atem Ba'im Al Ha'aretz El Ha'aretz Kna'an Zot Ha'aretz Asher Tipol Lechem Benachala Eretz Kna'an LeGvuloteha. First, the Torah delineates all of the boundaries and borders of the land of Israel according to each north, south, east, and west. Skip to the next paragraph, Pasuk Tet Vav. Oh, sorry. Go down to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayitzav Moshe b'nei Yisrael emor. Zot, excuse me? Zot ha'aretz asher titnachalu ota begoral asher tziva Hashem latet l'tishat ha'matot v'chatzi ha'mateh. The land of Israel west is to be divided by goral. Goral means a lot. Before God. How do you get to 7 to 9.5? So then the Torah tells us how 9.5, because the other 2.5 are east of the yard. And then, Pasuk Yud Tet Zayin, Vayetaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Ele Shmot Ha'anashim Asher Yinchalu Lechem Et Ha'aretz Elazar HaKohen Yeshua Benun. All of this division of the land will be done by the Kohen Gadol and by Yehoshua, Elazar HaKohen and Yehoshua, V'nasi Echad, Nasi Echad Mimatet Tikhu Linchol Et Ha'aretz. And you will have a representative leader of each tribe to divide the land. This is particularly appropriate for Parshat Shlach, because I think I mentioned, in some context I remember discussing it, that one of the theories of Parshat Shlach was that the mission of the spies was initially to be this mission. Namely, that a representative of each tribe would go through the land of Israel and divide up, write out the topographical and agricultural boundaries of each tribe, come back to Yeshua or to Moshe, and they would draw lots to determine the exact boundaries in which Shevet would go to which area. But the division of the land was to be mapped out, so to speak. That was the original plan of the spies, Nasiachad Nasiachad Lashevet. This was the mission that Moshe sets out to Bnei Yisrael at the end of 40 years. And this is the mission which in Perek Yerchet, Yeshua is now implementing, at least as far as the remaining seven tribes. Two of them have already done their job, namely, or three of them actually, Yehuda, Ephraim, and Menashe. V'yoreti lechem goral po lifnei Hashem alakenu. Back to Yeshua Perek Yerchet. Ki ein, and how do we get to seven? So it says as follows. Ki ein chelek la'levim b'kid b'chem ki kunat Hashem nachalato. Levi's out of the picture there. They've got their cities and the Mishkan. V'gad u'veni v'chatzi shevet ha'menashe la'kun nachalatam me'evel la'yarden mizracha shenatan lahem Moshe eved Hashem. Two and a half tribes, Reuven and Gad, are east of the Yarden. Moshe gave them their own land. That leaves nine and a half. Correct? Of the nine and a half, Yehuda, Ephraim, and half Manasseh have already taken their territory. Right? So that leaves seven. ויקומו האנשים וילכו ויצב ישוע את הלוחים לכתוב את הארץ לאמור לכו ויתהלכו בארץ וכתבו אותה. They sent, Yeshua sent these people out to go through the land to write it down. ושובו אליי, and bring this report back to me here in the Mishkan, which is now in Shiloh. ופה אשליך לכם גורל לפני השם בשילוה. And here we will establish the goral and divide the land. In other words, this is a the question is, what is the role of the goral versus what is the role of these cartographers and surveyors? Each tribe knew more or less what territory, what area in the land of Israel they were going to. That I'll show you in a moment. The specific boundaries of each territory was to be established by the surveyors and cartographers. So what was left for the goral to do? But they already knew who was going to go where. That's why I just said that. The general about...
Again.
I'll have to splice the two audios together. So what's the relationship between the cartographers and the surveyors? And on the one hand, and the goral on the other.
So maybe the goral gives them validity, maybe?
Right. To validate whatever they do. In other words, their first mission is to go and establish the boundaries themselves, to figure out how the boundaries work, to survey the land, which is exactly what the mission of the Meraglim was supposed to be. And this is the thesis of Rav Medan, and it's a very compelling thesis, because the whole notion that initially the mission of the spies was to do just that. It was to divide the land by territory and by tribe so that each tribe would know where their area to conquer was, because that's how the division of the land was going to be. Each tribe was supposed to conquer their territory. And the role of the goral was to kind of give a divine stamp of approval to the work and the effort that the surveyors would establish. Pasuk Tet, Vayalchu ha'anashim. The people go, they ride up the land, divide it into seven portions. And Yeshua does exactly that. He divides the land by the goral in the presence of the Mishkan and divides the land according to tribes. So who's left? You're right, Shimon. So Shimon, I forgot about Shimon. Shimon gets territory inside Yehuda, but he's mentioned here. So what's left is Binyamin, Dan, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Shimon. Those are the seven tribes that are left. And the rest of this Perek Yudchet, and Perek Yudtet, the rest of this entire section is a listing of all of the cities and areas of each tribe remaining after Yeshua moves the Mishkan to Shiloh. So if I look at the division of the or the story of the tribal division of the land of Israel, what's interesting is that it divides up into two parts. The first part, essentially, is the story of Yehuda, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And the second part is the story of the rest of the tribes. What divides them? What divides them? Besides a week of a break between last week's year and this week's year. And what divides the territorial division of the tribes of Judah, Ephraim and Manasseh on the one hand, and the remaining tribes now from the rest of this parak, Pasuk Aleph, Ayal Goral Mateh B'nei Binyamin, and then Perek Yutet, Vayetzeh Goral Hasheni L'Shim'on, Pasuk Yud, Vayal HaGoral HaShlishi Livnei Zvulun, Pasuk Yud Zayin, L'Yisachar Yetzeh HaGoral HaRevi'i, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayetzeh HaGoral HaChamishi L'Mateh B'nei Asher, Pasuk Lamed Bet, L'Naftali, Livnei Naftali Yetzeh HaGoral HaShishi, Pasuk Mem, L'Mateh B'nei Dan L'Mishpachatam Yetzeh HaGoral HaShvi'i, and the conclusion, Pasuk Mem Tet, the end of Perek Yutet, ויחלו לנחול את הארץ לגבולותיה, ויתנו בני ישראל נחלה לישוע בן נון בתוכם. They divided up the land according to the tribes, and then all the tribes together got together and said, okay, well, Yeshua, what about you? So they gave Yeshua a piece of land. על פי השם נתנו לו את העיר ששאל את תמנצרח בהר אפרים, ויפנה את העיר בישוע בה. They gave him inherit a city in the land of Ephraim called Timnath-Serach. What is the story? So what divides... In the context of Sefer Yeshua, what divides the first division of where there's no Goral, of Yehuda, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and the second half, which is all done by Goral, of the remaining seven tribes? The moving of the Mishkan to Shiloh. Correct. The moving of the Mishkan to Shiloh. So, which is the lead to the simple question, which is why does Yeshua move the Mishkan to Shiloh before? Right in the middle. Why does he move the Mishkan to Shiloh right after the territorial division of Yehuda, Ephraim, and Manasseh, before the division of Binyamin, Dan, Yisachar, Zvulun, Asher, Naphtali, and Shimon? What's the purpose of moving the Mishkan to Shiloh, first of all? What's the goal? What's ultimately the purpose of moving the Mishkan to Shiloh? More centrally located, possibly. No, what else? What's the story with the Mishkan? What's its?
Is there more Kedusha in Shiloh?
Well. We'll talk about why Shiloh in a moment. Let's first start with why move the Mishkan altogether.
Does it tie in with when they're dividing the places, obviously, because why would they move it then? It has to have something.
Well, why they move it then is my question.
Yeah.
So leave that out of the picture for a second, and just let's deal with the basic question. Why move the Shiloh? Why move the Mishkan altogether? Why would Yeshua even contemplate moving the Mishkan?
Put
it where more people will get to it, possibly.
Make it stationary.
Make it stationary. The Mishkan is destined to find a home. The Mishkan is destined to find a home. The Mishkan needs a home. And the Torah delineates exactly where and when the Mishkan would find a home. Turn to Dvarim Perek Yud Bet. Suzanne, what are you looking for? Okay.
Yeah.
Just teasing.
I mean, we have a class. We have a class
first. Pasuk Dalet. לא תעשון כן לשם אלוקיכם, כי אלא מקום אשר יבחר השם אלוקיכם מכל שבטיכם לעשו בת שמו שם לשכנות תדושו ובאת שם. the place where God will choose from amongst all the tribes to place his name. There, there, lishichnotid vishu vatashama, there you shall seek the shmishkat, the shchina, there you will come. And there you will bring all of your offerings, the various sacrifices, etc. Pasuk Tet. Ki lo vatem ad ata el ha-menucha ve'el ha-nachala asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. You haven't yet come to that place that is considered the menucha and the nachala, the place of rest, the place of inheritance. But when you will cross the Yarden and you will come to the land, and you will settle in the land of Hashem Elokechem manchil etchem, that God will give you as an inheritance. And after God has given you respite from all of your enemies and you dwell securely, then that place that God will choose from amongst all of his tribes, Shama taviu et asher et kol asher anochi mitzave etchem olotechem v'sifchechem masotechem utumat yadchem. There you will bring all of your. Can you what? Perek dvarim right now. Dvarim perek yud bet. Then after God has given you respite from all your enemies and you dwell securely, etc., all of the offerings. In other words, when will you have a place that is considered the home for the Shekhinah, the place that God will choose from amongst all of his tribes? What is the precondition for establishing a permanent place or home for the Shekhinah? After you've finished conquering all of the territory of the land of Israel. After you have finished establishing peace around your land. In other words, the Mishkan is a temporary movable dwelling. So you can function in the Mishkan and you can bring korbanot in the Mishkan. There's a halachic distinction between before and before the status of the Mishkan when it's still movable versus the status of the Mishkan when it's fixed. It has to do with the ability to bring sacrifices outside of the Mishkan. But barring that issue, which is a halachic issue, the concept is that the Mishkan was essentially movable in the Midbar. It traveled. Why did it travel? Because they weren't in a home. Once you come into your quote-unquote to your home, then you put the Mishkan in a specific place, and that's its new home. Which place? God will choose. God only knows, as the expression goes. God will choose from amongst all your tribes. So when do you place the Mishkan in its permanent home? This has nothing to do, on the Pshat level, this has nothing to do with a Beit HaMikdash versus a Mishkan. This is where will the Mishkan go as its permanent home? As long as it's in camp, as long as it's in a military formation, it's temporary. It could move. It happens to be in Gilgal, but it could be anywhere. Once you've established, God will give you respite from all your enemies, when you've come to Menucha v'Nachala, to your inheritance, then you will establish a fixed place for the Mishkan. When will that happen? After you've conquered the land. Right? After you've established the conquest of the land. So what's happening here is essentially a fulfillment of this mitzvah. That up until now, they've been conquering the land, and therefore the Mishkan has stayed in base camp in Shiloh. But now it's being moved to a home in the base camp in Gilgal. But now it's being moved to a home in Shiloh, where it will remain. And ostensibly, that's the place that is considered a makom hashiv char Hashem mikol shivtechem. That's the place that will be chosen. So on the face of it, at what stage of the conquest should the Mishkan be moved from Gilgal to its permanent home? After the entire conquest of the land of Israel. When does Yehoshua move the Mishkan from Gilgal to its new home in Shiloh? after 2.5 tribes have finished their job, and not the remaining 7. He moves the Mishkan to Shiloh, and then he sends the remaining 7 out on their mission. That's a problem. The logic of moving the Mishkan is once the tribes have gone and conquered all of the territory, you put the Mishkan somewhere central, somewhere specific, for all the tribes to access. That's the new home. And Yehoshua moves the Mishkan prematurely. Why? Why? That's the question. The mitzvah in the Torah is clear. Yeshua understands the goal here. And yet he does so prematurely. Not only does he do so prematurely, but because he does so prematurely, he's forced to put the Mishkan in the wrong place. He's forced to put the Mishkan in the wrong place.
So Shiloh is the wrong place?
Shiloh is the wrong place.
Because.
And why do you say it's
because?
Oh, that's, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the response, and then the shoe drops, and
yes,
it's like, okay,
does,
you know,
okay.
It's time to see if you're still awake here.
Check your pockets.
So where should the Mishkan have been? The answer isn't so much where, as much as it is which tribe. The answer is really the question of which tribal territory did the Mishkan belong, and where did Yeshua put it? Where did the Yeshua put it is in Shiloh, which is clearly in Shevet Ephraim. And the mystery of its location has led to a fascinating machloket in Chazal, because Chazal were bothered by the fact that the Mishkan is in Shiloh. It is in Ephraim. It doesn't belong in Ephraim. It belongs in a specific Shevet's territory, and that is defined by this pasuk, HaMakom HaSheYivchar HaShem Elokechem Mikol Shiftechem. In other words, amongst the choice isn't so much a choice of location as much as it is a choice of
tribe.
Which is the tribe into which the area of the Mishkan belongs?
The strongest one.
No.
The weakest one.
No.
Okay.
If you think about it philosophically, the answer is, excuse me? It could be the most central, but that's only by coincidence. In other words, I'll do it backwards. God would put the tribe that he wants to house the Mishkan in the location where the Mishkan would belong.
Binyamin?
Binyamin. How do I know that the Mishkan belongs in Shevet Binyamin? Let's take a look at the bracha that Moshe gives to the Shvatim in Vizot HaBracha. We'll see. If you put it in the wrong place, clearly you know one thing. It's not going to stay there forever. Right?
And there has to be a
reason why it's put in the wrong place. So we'll get to the reason. There's two issues on the reason. Number one, why move it prematurely? Because he is moving it prematurely. The Torah clearly states that the Mishkan would be placed once the land was conquered, and then you could go anywhere you want. The Mishkan gets moved prematurely, which leads to the fact that he has to put it into the wrong tribe.
He wants those other tribes to make sure that they really do what they're supposed to do.
Right, that's the issue here. The issue is that the other tribes are not going where they need to go, and he needs to break base camp early. That's essentially the answer. I didn't want to get to the answer yet, but we'll get to it.
Sorry.
It's okay. Take a look in Vizot HaBracha, which is Dvarim Perek Lamed Gimel. So you have a bracha to each tribe. Now, I think we've once talked about the fact that the brachas of Vizot HaBracha are actually, in addition to being brachas, they're also, and more, maybe primarily, a division of the land of Israel by tribe. They are an address to which tribes belong where. Which is why, and I think I've mentioned this as well, why Shimon is not mentioned in Vizot HaBracha, because Shimon is essentially landless. Shimon's tribal territory is taken away from him. But if you look at all of the brachot, so you have bracha to Yehuda, bracha to Levi, Yosef, Zvolun. Take a look at Binyamin. The Binyamin Amar. Pasuk Yud Bet. The Binyamin Amar. Hafen Fried notwithstanding. The Binyamin Amar. Yedid Hashem Yishkon Levetach Alav. Binyamin is called Yedid Hashem, meaning beloved of God. Yishkon Levetach Alav. God will dwell on him securely. Bitachon, security. When you have security, you have a Mishkan. When you have the Mishkan, you have it where? Yishkon Levetach Alav. Chofef Alav Kol Hayom. The Shekhinah will hover over him always. Uven Ktefav Shachen. And will dwell amongst, between his shoulders. That's a very strange bracha. First of all, it's the only bracha where the word Shachen is used at all. And the word Shachen is used here twice. Yishkon Hashem, the subject of this bracha is God. Yishkon Hashem, Yedid Hashem, Yishkon Levetach Alav. God will dwell amongst him securely. Chofef Alav Kol Hayom, hovering amongst him like the cloud. Uven Ktefav Shachen, and dwell between his shoulders. This bracha clearly states that the Mishkan will be in the tribal territory of Binyamin. That's essentially Moshe's bracha to him. That between his shoulders will dwell the Mishkan. Now, I go one step further. The phrase Uven Ktefav Shachen is not an accident either. The use of the word Ktefav is not an accident. So now, go back to Yoshua. And the only one of all of these tribes we're going to actually learn today is Binyamin. The rest of them are all cities, names of cities, and I'll give them to you on a map. You can take a look.
If
you,
the word katef
is a shoulder.
No,
and it means shoulders here. It means shoulders. The question is, what does the word shoulder mean when you're talking about a tribal territory? So take a look at Binyamin. Binyamin is a fascinating division. Perek Yudchet. The first one is Pasuk Yud Aleph. The first Mateh, the first tribe who's divided by lots is Binyamin. Now, you have this? Okay, this is a listing of all the tribes and their territory. So you have on page 4, you have east of the Yarden, Reuven and Gad. Page 5, you have a broad picture of everybody. Page 6, even I got again, don't ask me why I did that. 7. Oh, page 9. Okay, so keep the map in front of you, and now take a look at the psukim. Well, we'll get to the katef in a moment. Take a look at the psukim. Vayetze gvul goalam ben bnei Yehuda uven bnei Yosef. The territorial tribe of Binyamin is squeezed in between Yehuda in the south and bnei Yosef in the north, Ephraim and Manasseh. Vayehi lehem hagvul lifat tzafona min hayarden. From the Jordan northward, their border is as follows. Vala gvul el katef Yericho. The border would go north to the shoulder of Yericho. Mitzafon, v'la b'ha yama, and then it would head up the mountain ridge westward. V'ya totzotav midbar beit aven, and go all the way over to the area of Beit Aven, towards the midbar. V'avar misham ha'gvul Luza, and from there it would head to the mountain range of Luz, otherwise known as, Luz is the ancient name for Beit El. V'yashem ha'ir Luz. El Ketef Luza Negba, to the shoulder of the Luz mountain range, south of it, he Beit El. V'yarad ha'gvul Atarot Adar al Hahar Shem Negev leBeit Choron Tachton, and then it would head down the mountain. Atar ha'gvul v'nasav lifat yam, the border would continue westward. Negba min ha'har asher pnei Beit Choron, Negba hi v'totzatav al kiyat bal He Kiyat Yarim, Ir Bnei Yehuda, headed into the territory of Givat Yarim, area of Giv'on. Uf'at Negba, the southern boundary, Pasuk Tetvav, Mikze Kiryat Yarim V'yatza Gvul Yama V'yatza El Mayan Mei Niftoach. I'm skipping the names of the cities because I wanted to get specifically to all the Katafim, as they call them. Vayarad Gvul Kze Hahar Asher Pnei Gei Ben Hinnom, headed down to the area of Yerushalayim, Valley of Ben Hinnom, Asher Be'emek Rifaim Tzafona. Emek Rifaim, you know where Emek Rifaim is, right?
Yes. Yes.
I was just there.
Right? You can walk through Nachlap in a minute. It's a fascinating tour. Ve'arad Gehinom El Ketef HaYevusi Negba, and then it goes up to the area of Yerushalayim to the shoulder. Remember, they're from Emek Rifaim. Emek Rifaim is a valley. You head up to Yerushalayim, you head up to another mountain range of Ketef Yevusi, the side, the shoulder of the mountain of Yerushalayim or Yevus. V'yirad en rogel. V'tar mitzafon v'yatza en shemesh v'yatza al glulot asher nochach male adumim. V'yirad even bon ben uven. V'avar al ketef mul ha'arava tzafona. Then it heads up to ketef ha'arava. V'yirad ha'aravata. Then it goes down into the arava. V'yirad ha'gvul al ketef bet chogla tzafona. That was fast. What? V'yatotzotav ha'gvul el lishon yam ha'melech tzafon al k'teh ha'yarden negba ze gvug negin. Shmuley! Where are we up to? Pasuk Chaf, v'hayarden yugbol oto lefat kedma. We're back to the Arden. We've gone a full circle. Zot nachalab b'nei binyamin l'kvulates aviv m'lemishpochata. So now take a look at the map. If you take a look on the map, and if you start in the big black spot on the bottom right hand side, that's Yam HaMelech. Go up to the little river that runs out of it called the Yarden.
Which one is the Yarden?
Okay. You'll find the Yarden.
I got it.
Okay. Now, take a look at the names of the areas. Ketef, Beit Chogla. Ketef, Mula Arava. Ketef, Yericho. Then head westward from Ketef, Yericho. Ketef, Luza. Southwest. Ketef, Har Ya'arim. Southeast, Ketef HaYevusi, Emek Rifaim. And back to Ketef Beit Chogla. All of that is Shevet Binyamin. Why is it? Why is every region in the area called Ketef?
All surrounding
No. What is a Ketef?
Shoulder.
Shoulder. When you're talking about topography, what is a shoulder?
Of the road.
You can talk about the shoulder of a road, but if you're talking about topography, what's a shoulder?
It's like a mountain.
Right. It's a shoulder is the side of a
mountain.
Of a mountain. If you're in a valley and you're surrounded by a mountain on one side, then the boundary of that valley is the shoulder of the mountain, because it looks like a shoulder. The mountain itself may or may not necessarily be in the boundary, but the boundary is defined by the shoulder of the mountain. Binyamin is a tribal area which is all hills. Into the area of north of Yerushalayim, right? It's all hills and valleys. So the mountain range, the mountains themselves that come up from the Yarden in the area of Yericho, the shoulder, the outer shoulder of that mountain range is called Ketef Yericho. And from there, the boundary heads into a series of hills that define the territory of Binyamin. Ketef Yericho on the east, Ketef Luza in the area of Har Beit El in the north, Ketef Yevusi, Emek Rifaim, Yerushalayim is the southern border of Binyamin. Yehuda is south of Yerushalayim. Binyamin is north of Yerushalayim. and the side of the mountain of Yerushalayim, Geben Inom, Ketef Yevusi, is the boundary of the southern boundary of Binyamin, and to the east, Ketef Har Ye'arim. So you have this picture of Binyamin settled or nestled inside a boundary defined by four mountain ranges. Almost as if to say, they're kind of like this middle, all the mountains facing Binyamin create a natural boundary around the tribal territory of Binyamin itself.
This only happens in Binyamin's tribe.
None of the other tribes are defined by the word Ketef. Certainly not as clearly as Binyamin is. Binyamin's tribe is, if you look at the psukim, it's Ketef Yericho, Ketef Beit El, Ketef Luza, Ketef Yevusi. And then you go back to the Baruch of Yaakov, when he says, Uven Ktefav Shachen, Binyamin, Moshe's Baruch to Binyamin, Uven Ktefav Shachen, when the Torah says that God will dwell between the Ktafim, or Ktefav, between the mountain ranges, you understand that we're talking specifically about Binyamin, because this whole tribe, this whole territory is defined by these Ktafim. Right? Now, and what does the Torah say about Binyamin? Yadid Hashem, Yishkon levetach alav, chofef lav kol hayom, uven ktefav shachen. Where is the Mishkan supposed to be? Between the ktefaim of Binyamin. It's like... It wasn't cryptic to them.
It's
only cryptic to us because we don't know what we're talking about. We're doing this blind. It wasn't cryptic to them.
But it doesn't say a name.
It doesn't say specifically where. It just
says
specifically
right. Where. It doesn't say. Like, okay. You would read why? It. You wouldn't assume.
Wouldn't have to assume anything. You just get to Sefer Yeshua and you would read the tribal territory of Yeshua, of Binyamin, and you'd understand that it's Ben Ketefav Shechem. It's more than that. They knew where each tribe would go. Because Yaakov sets out where each...
That's cryptic. It says Shachem or
Yishkon levetach alav. That's pretty clear that's a reference to... So I come back to my original question. Here you have a clear definition of the Torah of where the Mishkan is supposed to be and when the Mishkan is supposed to get there. In Shevet Binyamin, after Kibush V'Nachum. Why did he go to Shiloh and why did he go before the tribes finished conquering the land? Now you have an answer to both questions. Namely, that's why I didn't want to get the answer prematurely because I needed the answer to both questions. But you've
got
to.
I only got one.
One answer for both questions.
That's the answer to both.
Both questions.
Oh, so I gave you both answers.
What was the answer
to you? Why did he move prematurely?
He wanted those tribes to make sure that they would conquer each one of their territories.
According to all the Mefarshim, this pasuk is at the end of the 7 years of division. We've 7 years of conquest, 7 years of division, and at the end of those 14 years, where are we at?
No, we're still not.
We're still in Gilgal. We're still in base camp. 2.5 tribes have gone and taken the territory, namely Yehuda in the south, Ephraim and Manasseh in the north. But the rest of them are still sitting in Gilgal. Why?
Because they're scared.
Because it's easy.
They're comfortable.
Because it's easy.
They're comfortable.
Right? Because they've got a base camp, and the base camp is Gilgal. That means that they're sitting around the Mishkan. They've been sitting around the Mishkan for 55 years or so, and what they don't know any better. The Mishkan is here. That's where they live. That's where they dwell. That's where the camp is. That's where Binyamin. That's where the Galim is still sitting. So what's going to push them to leave camp? So Yeshua has no choice. He takes the Mishkan and he says, "If this is what's keeping you here, we're moving it."
Why didn't he move it to Binyamin?
Right.
That's what.
So why didn't Ephraim move it to Binyamin? And now you have the answer to the second question.
Have they done the Yom Kippur?
Because Binyamin is part of the seven.
They haven't done the Yom Kippur.
Because Binyamin's part of the seven. Binyamin is in chapter 18. The only tribes that have so far conquered are Yehuda, Ephraim, and Manasseh.
So why Binyamin and not?
Binyamin is still one of those tribes that have yet to take their territory. Binyamin. Dan, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Shimon. So you have to move the Mishkan. Where are you going to move it to? You have to move it to somewhere safe. You have to move it somewhere that's in your territorial control. So in that case, you don't have a choice. You can't go to Binyamin because...
He hasn't been conquered.
He hasn't been conquered yet. So given the fact that he hasn't been conquered yet, he has no choice, he moves it to the closest. Shiloh is here in Ephraim. Shiloh is in Har Ephraim. He moves it to the center of Har Ephraim in Asher, which is safe territory, south of Shechem, because south of Shechem is safe territory. It's controlled by Israelites, of course, at least those days. And you're north of Binyamin. You're as close to Binyamin as you're going to get, but you can't get to Binyamin because you haven't taken it yet.
But can't they become complacent in Shiloh?
Shiloh, once the Mishkan is moved, Shiloh is in Shevet Ephraim. It's not in Shevet Binyamin. They have nowhere to go. Where is Binyamin going to go?
Okay.
Where is Shimon going to go? Where is Dan going to go? Where is Naphtali and Asher going to go? They can't go to Shiloh. So this is what Yeshua is doing, is he's saying, okay, folks, we're done. Well, I don't know what you're waiting for, but we're done. Mishkan's been moved is a sign that we're done. We've come El Menucha V'El Nachala. We've come to that inheritance and the resting place. The Mishkan is now in its permanent home. I don't know where you're going, I'm going home. Divide the land, send the cartographers, do the corral, the rest of the tribes, here's your ticket, you're going to Binyamin, you're going to Naphtali, you're going Asher, hi, see you later, sayonara, I'm going.
So did he get punished, and was God upset that
Yeshua? No, Yeshua did the only thing he could do. This is not I'm not being critical of Yeshua. The critique, if anything, is against the seven tribes that are... How does Perek Yitchet begin? Ad ana atem mitrapim lavo l'reshet et ha'aretz asher natan lachem Hashem elokei avotechem. How long are you going to procrastinate and wait and be lazy? Yeshua has no choice. The whole tone of this Perek is one of, you know, we've got to do something and dramatic in order to move everybody because they're sitting where they don't belong. And that, I call that the Shiloh plan. Tochnit Shiloh. Where Yeshua has no choice. He goes to Shiloh by default. So now there's a whole machloket in the Gemara as to whether or not Shiloh is in the tribal territory of Ephraim or the tribal territory of Binyamin. So most say that it's in the tribal territory of Ephraim, as it says. The Torah says that the Mishkan has to be in the tribal territory of Shiloh. So the Gemara has the following language. Gemara says that there was a ritzu'ah, a strip of land that came out of Shevet Binyamin and entered into Shevet Ephraim in order for the Mishkan to be territorially in the tribal area of Binyamin. In other words, it's like it's like an embassy in a foreign country is territorially sovereign territory, right? Sovereign soil, whatever the expression is. So the Mishkan becomes Shevet Binyamin by default, even though it's practically in Shevet Ephraim. But that's only because Chazal had this contradiction between the fact that the Mishkan is in Shiloh and the Torah says the Mishkan has to be in Binyamin. Chazal had the same problem with Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is also supposed to be in Shevet Binyamin. And yet the city chosen to house the Beit HaMikdash, which was Yerushalayim, is half in Shevet Yehuda and half in Shevet Binyamin, and the majority of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash literally sits on the border, on the boundary. So Chazal have the same issue with Beit HaMikdash, and they give the same answer, that the Beit HaMikdash is in Shevet Yehuda, but there's a strip of land inside Shevet Yehuda that essentially becomes a territorial region of Shevet Binyamin. Yerushalayim is chosen for other reasons, which you understand if you learn Sefer Shmuel. But the
take the tour of
Yer David. Right? But the notion that the Mishkan has to be in Shevet Binyamin, and therefore if it's moved anywhere else, we have to create these kind of isolated territorial sovereign independent regions in order to create the connection to Binyamin, is because the Torah wanted the Mishkan to be dafka in Shevet Binyamin Yedid Hashem. Then the next question is obviously why Binyamin, and for that we'd have to go back to Sefer Bereshit and go through the whole story of who Binyamin is and what Binyamin is, and the fact that Binyamin of all of the tribes of Israel is the only tribe untainted by the story of Mechiret Yosef.
I have another question going further into Navi. So it went to Shiloh. Why at a certain point? I know it moved. Why didn't it move earlier from Shiloh?
So. That's a very good question, and I think it has more to do with Sefer Shoftim than anything else. the Mishkan and Shiloh gets very neglected.
We have to wait until we get
Shiloh. But it's interesting, of all the other places the Mishkan ever goes to, by the way, all the cities that the Mishkan moves to, and the Mishkan moves a lot, Gilgal itself is near Yericho. Yericho belongs to Shevet. Katef Yericho.
Benjamin.
From Shiloh, it will go to a number of exiles. It will go to Kiryat Yearim. It'll go to Nov. It'll go to Givon. Eventually, it'll go to Yerushalayim. All of those places are in Shevet Binyamin. The Mishkan never leaves Shevet Binyamin except for Ephraim to Shiloh. And in Shiloh, so Chazal created this territorial sovereign location of Shevet Binyamin inside Har Ephraim. But the Mishkan never, otherwise, the Mishkan never leaves the boundaries of.
Up north, but this Nov is right here, so.
Nov is not up north. Nov is
now.
Nov is
right now. It is.
Kiryat Yearim.
But so here, this Nov.
No, that's not the Nov of. Of.
So when the whole thing happened with Shaul, it was this Nov.
Absolutely.
When they
it's funny because I thought it was awesome from what we had learned. It was further north.
Doesn't make sense for it to be further north. From Nov, he goes down to Eretz Plishtim.
I did too.
Think about it. From Nov, he goes to Eretz Plishtim. He's running to Eretz Plishtim. Why would he go all the way up north and then to run south?
Misunderstanding.
I should think about where are you.
Is Nov today? I think you're at today.
No.
I just
thought
you that they were in a maybe city somewhere far away.
No. Nov is in the center by near Kiryat Yearim. Givon, all the same basic area.
Wait, it's this side or this side? Here it has a little
note. Where
does it have note here? A question mark.
Question
mark. It's got a question mark.
Nope,
and then a question mark.
Givon, Kiryat Yearim, Yerushalayim. No, yeah.
That's right.
Why is there a question mark?
Because we don't know where it is. But it works. As long as it stays in the tribal territory of Benjamin. That's exactly the beauty of this. When you look at it, from Gilgal, Giv'on, Kiryat Yearim, Yerushalayim, Nov, they're all in Shevet Benjamin. Every one of them. The only one that's not is in Shiloh, and for that we have to create a sovereign region. Okay.
How long did it take these cartographers to map all of this?
We don't know. Because
have done it in a day,
no,
know?
They couldn't have done it in a day, and essentially it's the last thing that Yehoshua does, because from there the rest, the next parak chaf, which is the beginning of part three of Sefer Yehoshua, is Yeshua's message of goodbye to the people. Chazal give 14 years to the division and conquest of the land of Israel. 7 years for part one, which is the battles of Yericho, Ai, southern campaign and northern campaign. And 7 years for the tribal division of the land, which, according to the Mefarshim, is before Perek Yitchat. In other words, the Shiloh plan is after those 7 years. And from that point forward, they start to count Shemitah and Yovel. They're in the land, they've settled. Ela Menucha ve'ela Nachala, the Mishkan is its home. The tribes go to the territory or don't go to the territory, that's their headache. But the process of division of the land is done. Yeshua has waited 14 years. And now Yeshua divides the land, sends them on their own, and Yeshua goes on. So what happens next, we don't know the time frame. From the end of that 7 years until the end of Yeshua's life, the time frame is unclear. Yeshua dies at the age of 110. Somewhere I remember him being 80 at the point of entering into the land of Israel. I don't remember where I remember that from. But in the global scheme of it, so there's certainly a number of years subsequent to this point. But the process, what we call the 14 years of Kibush HaNachla, starts from here. The last thing I wanted to do is to sort of bring this whole section of Sefer Yehoshua to a close. And with this we will conclude our study of I'm away. This is it. This is our last class until the end of the summer. So I want to give you this. This map, by this point in time, should be kind of ingrained in your mind. You should have a picture of this map in your head, sort of. And what this map does, besides give you the orange, which is the area of, for the most part, the area of Israelite conquest, where we actually conquered by the end of Sefer Yehoshua, by the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. This is what the region looks like. The yellow is Canaanite. The orange is Israelite. I always am fascinated by the fact that it's, if you take out this part of it, it's kind of a reversal of the modern map of Israel. That's a separate issue. But the location of the tribes is, I hope at this point you understand where, which tribes are where. Because it's, you've been sitting, looking, staring at this map for 2 years. So it should be pretty clear as to where the tribes are. Obviously, Reuben and Gad are here between the Arnon and the Yabok rivers. That's the area of the conquest from Sichon and Og. From Sichon. Menashe, half of Menashe, the area of the Gilad up to the Bashan. That's the conquest, to the territory conquered from Og, Melech HaBashan. The land of Israel itself divided from south to north. Yehuda in the south. Shimon, I didn't read this psukim, but in this Perek Yutet, says that Shimon is given five cities inside Shevet Yehuda because they don't have land of their own. Taken away from them, we'll see in a moment. North of Yehuda is Binyamin. Now you understand the whole story of how Binyamin came to be squeezed between Yehuda and Ephraim. Talk about that in a moment. Then Menashe, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Dan. Dan's a story we'll see in Sefer Shoftim. Dan starts here in the coast, can't get there, can't conquer it, can't settle there because the Canaanites are too strong. So he ends up moving up to the north. So that's why Dan is split. Today, the area of Tel Aviv is right here in an area known in the as Gush Dan. Right? The area of Tel Aviv and its suburbs is called Gush Dan. You never thought about why it's called Gush Dan? Oh, it's called Gush Dan because it's in the ancient tribal territory of Dan. It's right there. There's Tel Aviv, the sand dunes of Tel Aviv.
We have the Dan Hotel, of course.
The Dan Hotel, of course.
Right? I never thought that the Dan Hotel would
be amazing. Isn't it lucky that Yaakov named one of his children Dan so we could have a reason for the Dan Hotel?
There you go.
Okay. So now, I want to show you
this. Into the Dan Hotel, I said, do you know why you're in the
one of the questions is whether or not the structure of the division of the tribes in the land of Israel was haphazard, or whether there was some logic to which tribes would go where. And so the theory that I want to share with you is that there was a structure to the division of the tribes. And the division was structured partially connected to the story of which tribes belonged to whom, which mothers and which groups, and partially how they marched through the desert, and eventually how they marched through the desert gets translated into how they settled the land of Israel. So first of all, we have to remember how we divide up the tribes. So where's my list of the Imahot? It's not here. I had actually prepared this page for you, and then I forgot to photocopy it. So, let me do this quickly. Let's divide up the tribes by groups. B'nai Leah, B'nai Yosef, B'nai Bilha, and B'nai. Okay, so who goes where? Well, let's put.
You know where Binyamin goes.
B'nai Leah are Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Chronologically, who comes next?
Bilha.
Chronologically, B'nai Bilha. Dan Naphtali. Then? Yisachar, Zvulun, I think come after Zilpah, no?
They are
Zilpah. No, Yisachar, Zvulun have Leah's.
Oh,
Leah has two groups, Group A and Group B.
That's right.
Four older ones, two younger ones.
Sounds
familiar. Sounds familiar one. So, next is Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Then Yisachar, Zvulun. And now Bnei Leah, Yosef, which divides into Ephraim and Menashe, and Binyam. Okay? Now, when the tribes are sent through the Midbar, Moshe divides the tribes up into subgroups, namely, as they camp through, as they walk through the desert, Moshe divides them up into Dgalim, beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Divides them up into four Dgalim. Each Degel is comprised of three tribes. Okay. Do you remember any of this from the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar? It's the parasha with all the numbers. We kind of like look at it and gloss over it. Without having to go through the text, take a look at the chart that looks like this. Looks like what? Can you read it? You understand what this chart is? This is the formation of Israel as they walk through the desert. So in the middle is the Mishkan. To the right, depending on which direction you're walking, it'll be north, south, east, and west, but let's just do right, left for now. To the right is Degel Machane Yehuda. Together with Yehuda goes Yisachar Zvulun. Group A. Next, south of the Mishkan, Degel Machane Reuven. Reuven is Reuven, Shimon, and Gad.
How did that happen?
So here's an interesting question. How did Gad end up with Reuven? So you have Yehuda with Yisachar Zvulun. Sorry, Yehuda. Reuven with Shimon and Gad. Who should have been with Shimon? Sorry, who should have been with Reuven?
Levi.
Right? Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi are always together. Right, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are the three tribes that that Yaakov criticizes in his final bracha to his children. So they're the three that are pushed away. Levi redeems himself. How does Levi redeem himself?
By not participating in
Chet HaEgel. So Levi gets redeemed, and Levi takes over the Mishkan territory, so Levi gets put into the middle. What's left is Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were originally destined to be pushed away because of Yaakov's bracha. So instead of Levi, the God who is the firstborn of Zilpah gets put together, and Zilpah goes with, I don't know if you remember that, Zilpah is the Shivcha of Leah, and Bilhah is the Shivcha of Rachel. So the Bechor of Zilpah gets put into the group with Reuben, Shimon, instead of Levi. The next group, the next Degel, which is east, is Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. That makes sense. And who leads the Degel?
Ephraim.
Yaakov's Bracha, where he reverses his hands and places his right hand over Ephraim. Yosef is the older brother, and Ephraim gets the Bechorah from Yosef, so the leader of that Degel is Ephraim, Menashe second, and then Binyamin. Fourthly, the last Machane, which is in the north, is Degel Machane Dan. Again, Dan is, what status is Dan? Dan is the Bechor of
Bilhah.
The Bechor of the Shvachot. We've already given God over to Reuven to shave Machane Reuven. So what's left is Dan, Naphtali, and Asher as a group. Understand the grouping?
Yes.
Now, around the Mishkan, Machane Yehuda on the east, Ephraim on the west, Dan in the north, Reuven in the south. Actually, how they marched, it wasn't exactly in that location, but that's how they moved. That's how they marched. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, what happens when they enter into the land of Israel? Two things happen. First of all, Degel Machane Hashchina. in the Mishkan, in the desert, the Mishkan was the territorial area of Levi. In Eretz Yisrael, Levi doesn't have territory. So in which tribal territory is the Machane HaShechina going to be? Binyamin. So I have to do one thing, first of all, is I have to take Binyamin out of the Degalim, and I have to put him into the center, is in the place of the Mishkan. Correct? Now, surrounding the Mishkan, or surrounding forget the rest of the tribes for a moment, just the four heads of the Degalim, who are they? Yehuda, Reuven, Dan, and Ephraim. Surrounding Shevet Binyamin, who are the four tribes? Yehuda in the south, Ephraim in the north, Gad in the... Reuven, right? Reuven in the west, in the east, and Dan in the west. So you're... Degel Machna Hashchina, which is now Shevet Binyamin, is surrounded by the four Dgalim of that travel through the desert. The difference was the mirror image replacement of Yehuda and Reuven. In the desert, Reuven is south and Yehuda is east. When they enter into Eretz Yisrael, those two become mirror images of each other. Why? Why did Reuven go east and Judah south?
The direction they were going?
Nope. Because Reuven asked to stay east of the Yarden, remember?
No.
Reuven and Gad, they asked to stay east of the Yarden. So the moment I moved Reuven and his machane, who's here? Reuven, Gad, and?
Half of Menashe.
Well, we'll get the half of Menashe, but who's supposed to be here? Reuven, Gad, and? What's Degel Machane Reuven?
Shimon.
Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. This is where Shimon belongs. That whole machane should have been here, except that Shimon had a problem. Namely, story of Baal Peor, story of Pinchas, which is why Shimon lost their Nachala. So Shimon gets taken out of this group and given a couple of cities, but Shimon essentially has no land. So what remains is Degel Machane Reuven, Reuven and Gad. Degel Machane Yehuda is in the south. With Yehuda went Yisachar and Zvulun, and Yisachar and Zvulun won't fit here. So Yisachar and Zvulun got stuck up here. North of Binyamin is Degel Machane Ephraim. Who's Degel Machane Ephraim? Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. And west is Degel Machane Dan. Who's Dan? Dan, Asher and Naphtali. Now Asher and Naphtali also don't fit here. So they got stuck even further up north. So what happens when they come into the land of Israel is that the division, that's why I said that they knew more or less where the tribes are supposed to go, because the setup and the layout of the land of Israel was established for them as they marched through the desert. And if you turn this page over, you can see a schematic of the tribes, and the color coordination on this map matches the color coordination on this map. So the red machane, one's supposed to be red, one's supposed to, you can sort of, well, it's supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah, you said done yellow here, and then
right.
Go here.
Right. I'm not sure why there's two oranges. I think one's supposed to be red and one's supposed to be orange, but that kind of didn't, that kind of blurred out.
Did Goral tell, like, these guys, like, the ones that wouldn't fit in their regular place to go up north?
Well, it's interesting. The cartographers go out to survey their territory, three people per tribe, to their territory before the Goral. So they knew more or less where each tribe would be, from Yaakov's bracha to Moshe's bracha. Both brachas of Yaakov and Moshe are territorial divisions. They identify the nature of the land given to each tribe. The rest is specifics, which cities and which boundaries. And that's what the cartographers did, and ultimately that's what they came back to Yoshua with for a Goral. Now, I wanted you to see, when they come into the land of Israel, they essentially come in the way they march through the desert, with minor variations. Binyamin goes to the middle, Degel the camp of Judah to the south, the camp of Ephraim to the north, Dan to the west, the remaining tribes, Yisachar, Zvulun, Asher, and Naphtali up into the north, and Reuben and Yehuda change places, and essentially the layout matches how they walked through the desert, which matches how they marched around Yaakov's kever, which matches how the brachos are given out to the tribes. And with this, we have completed our study of part two of Sefer Yehoshua. If you look at the schematic, this map, it's a schematic of all the chapters of Sefer Yehoshua, and it goes through where we're up to. We have part one, which is the crossing of the Yarden, part two, which is the beginning of the conquest, Yericho Ai, southern campaign, northern campaign, part three, 13 to 19, the division of the tribes in the land of Israel. And what remains for us is part four and five, namely the conclusion from Perikov to the end.
And we will do that.
Well, I'll look at the schedule. We'll figure it out either before Yontif or after Yontif. But we have essentially brought this.
More than we're getting there. Yontif's not so.